catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Radio at freedomslips.com. Hold on to the edge of your seats because you are in for quite the ride. It's time for the Granada Forum Radio Show. Right now, live on air with your hosts, Granada, Wendy.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Granada Forum Radio Program. This is Revolution Radio, and we are the number one commercial-free, listener-supported internet talk radio station in the world. We're located at freedomslips.com, that's freedomslips.com, or revolution.radio, that's revolution.radio. You can also find us on iTunes and a couple other different apps and places to come in and listen to. There you go. By the way, if you'd like to go to the homepage and leave equivalent to a cup of coffee, we appreciate to keep the paid programming on the air. Also, too, if you'd like to advertise on Revolution, you meet some friends, a lot of new friends, and it's fairly inexpensive, not too bad. So check that out also at the homepage. So we thank you so much for that. By the way, it is the 11th today of November 2022, and things are going crazy as usual. But yes, they are. And it's not a dull moment, to say the least. There you go. All right. Well, we got going to have Mark on at 8, as well as Tom Quinn of KFCO up in the Bay Area. And we're going to have Gary Arnold hopefully joining us as well. So it'll be fun tonight from 8 to 9. There you go. And by the way, on Tuesday, we do have a guest. Mike Stone will be with us. That'll be a really good show, by the way, on our Natural Health Product Program, Natural Healthy Connections with Cowgirl Nikki and myself, Mark and Nick. And so that's from 9 to 11, there you go, in the morning on Tuesday. So check us out there. That'll be good with Mike Stone talking about COVID and where's it going. Yeah, it's that'll be really we're looking forward to that one actually on Tuesday. Okay, we want to thank also Tom Quinn. We got that, one of our guests from him, so we're very lucky to get Mike. So thank you, Tom. Tom will be on in a little while. Okay, I'm going to pass the baton to real quick to John. But, John, I just want to tell you this. I was up in the morning, not real early, but fairly early, because I had to do a few things. And I looked out, and I noticed there was some Kim. Just listen. Blue sky, warm, sun was out. I was so glad. Hey. Little cold wind, not too bad, but a little tiny, maybe like a, what you call a breeze, a little less than a breeze, but, you know, some air moving. By 11:30, 12, really started to pack it in. By 1 o'clock, John, you could not see the sun in the San Fernando Valley through the Kim because there was that much Kim in the air. And I know Nick was coming in from Victorville. So I'm going to leave it right there for you guys because it was packed today.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm glad you reported that. I'm telling you today was probably one of the worst days I've ever seen in my life. I made like 3 or 4 videos. These guys were nonstop. I mean, I felt so horrible all day long. You know, I felt like I was just ready to lay down on the sidewalk. I was so weak and so tired. And I talked to people on the phone today and they said they felt the same way. These guys are nonstop now. Veterans Day. Thank you so much. We have no military going after these freaks. So I got no respect for that. I don't like it anymore. I've had it. Today has really pissed me off too much.
Yeah.
So this is just not fair. And then you're running around. People are just not seeing some guy called me a bird watcher again. I wanted to kick him in his ass. You know, he's watching the birds. I'm kind of watching the birds. But it was horrible. I made one video after another. And these are just, they don't even look human at all. And I don't believe they are. And I'm going to mark my words. We're going to find out that these are some entities that don't belong here. And they're here. This is not the Air Force. This is not little planes taken up at the airport and all that. I mean, I got things flying across the sky spraying that weren't even airplanes. They're like silver balls. So, I mean, I caught stuff like that. But this has really gotten me angry today. You know, it just, I couldn't even be in a good mood for 5 seconds. I turn around, here they are up there, just one after another. Nobody's saying a word. The news talking about, it's partly cloudy, eh?
Kim. John, give out your website so people can go watch the videos.
Oh, please. Okay. John Graff, J-O-H-N, Graff, G-R-A-F. And it's just YouTube. So go look at the last 3 or 4 videos. Today looks like Pearl Harbor right above your head. And it's unbelievable. This is a war, okay? We're in a war. And people go, I wonder if there's going to be World War III. It's there. It's already here.
Yeah.
You're looking at it. They're sticking you full of holes, all your kids. And you got a sky like this. I can't think of more of a war than that, really.
Yeah.
You know, they've got us. They're attacking while we sit here and blab about, Trump, this and that. They want us to talk about that. We can't do it. It's getting us nowhere. We have to talk about what's up above us. I am not a happy camper today, I have to tell you.
I hear you, John. It's in your voice. I'm going to say something. It's kind of. A couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine said something to me. I said, well, let me think about this and let me ask around. And I asked some friends, and they all say yes. And this is really weird, but I know now this is the chemtrails. If you're losing some hair, ladies and gentlemen, on your head, that it's not quite normal, just listen to me. I have a real thick, full hair, so I always have hair, but I have noticed certain things on my scalp now. And my friend is saying, I asked another buddy of mine, she's like, yeah, Wendy, this is the chem. The chemtrails, because we're out in it so much and because they've sprayed so much in California, that if you're losing some of your hair, some of it's because of the chem. I know there's some place, like a natural product called Nutrafol or something. I need Nutrol or something. I might have to maybe just look into that. But I take tons of, I'm on tons of vitamins and products. And I take stuff every day. I take stuff, trust me. But I have noticed my hair. So, I don't mean, because I know sometimes the guys, you know, they lose their hair a little faster than women. But I can tell you that something is going on. I'm not crazy. I do think this is happening, that people are, some of their hair is thinning or coming out and a little bit more than maybe normal. And for some of you might be listening, we believe it's the chem, especially in places where they're spraying heavy. You do not understand. It's just your body can't take this. And So I think the chem is the thing. I know I advertise, I think, Vaz on Tuesday. I'm going to actually put some shampoo. I've got a couple bottles. Sometimes you use bottles, different bottles, you know, go through, you know how that goes, you know.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to try the Vaz because it's parabena-free and sulfate-free, and try that. But I'm saying, Nick just got here, but John, do you think, that's true or no? I mean, have you noticed something or no? But
hair loss.
Yeah,
yes,
a little hair. When you're brushing your hair, all of a sudden people say, "When I've got so much," I'm like, "What?" They're like, "What's going on?"
Yeah, I have noticed that, but you know, that's like the least of my problems, least of anybody's problems. Really, man, this is not funny. This is, if you look up heavy metal poisoning, you're going to see hair loss. That's one of the lists. You're going to see sore joints. You're going to see a lot of stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Joints. There you go. Aluminum.
Yeah.
There you go.
If you're feeling weak, I mean, this guy called me today from a market that I work at, and he's always a joker. He's always a laugher. And when we talk about chemtrails, he starts laughing about it. Like, oh, weather's bringing me. Today he called me up and he didn't joke. I thought he was going to cry. He felt so horrible at work. He says, I'm looking at this guy right now. I can't even move. I feel so weak right now. And he said, my boss just came in and he said the same thing. He felt like that too. And he wasn't laughing about it. He was so deadly serious. And this guy was awful today. If you talk to anybody at all, it was where we are in Los Angeles here. This was, they were just, I can't believe it. It looked like dump trucks were flying across the sky, pouring
it
out.
Listen, I can tell you, literally between 12 and 1 in the San Fernando Valley, they caked this that heavy that the sun went behind the chemtrails. There was that much chem in the air by noon. I showed it to my mom even. She's like, oh, my God, this is terrible.
Really?
But it's nonstop. You can't be out all along in this. You have to be very careful now, I think, in my opinion. And you gotta pick your moments. But yeah, it's not good, John. It's getting worse. And
I think this
is just, yeah. And it's.
Well, I've talked about Veterans Day today that they really dumped it today. And I made it that I mentioned that in the video that I'm sick of dealing with the war ourselves, and here we are hearing the news going, there's a war in Afghanistan, and no, it's right here, right in your backyard, right over your head. So
really,
maybe we better address this one, because it doesn't make me happy to have a military that does nothing at all except go somewhere else where the war is right here. I take pictures of it every day. What's next? I mean, I don't know what to do here. This is insane. And everybody that I know that knows about this feels the same way I do. We're sick of hearing about other countries and their people going over and troops going over. You're right here, guys. Get out your weapons. It's here.
Yep.
You know, I've had it. We're wasting time. This has got to be addressed and put on television somewhere. The news is horrible. They're just lying pricks.
I know the propaganda, because of the Smith Mudd Act, is absolutely at like the highest level of absolutism, of say nothing, do nothing, know nothing. I mean, I can't listen to the news, guys.
No.
I don't watch it. I turned it off a couple years ago when the COVID started because the lies were horrible. And now it's just as bad, and it's, you know, so I go to the Weather Channel to go local on the 8th if I need to just see what round temperature and I might think, you know, if we might get some rain or something, but you know, because I do not go to the other places, so that's what I can tell you.
One Pacific Redwood, I always mention that, but that's the only place that's going to tell you the truth about the weather. It's on YouTube, One Pacific Redwood.
Yeah.
And the guy's going to tell you what they're doing with the sky. He's going to show you that they're spraying this stuff. He gives you a full report, trails and all. And he's telling the truth. The guy knows.
OnePacificRedwood.com?
Yeah. OnePacificRedwood YouTube.
OnePacificRedwood YouTube.
OnePacificRedwood YouTube.
Yeah, OnePacificRedwood YouTube.
Yeah.
Go there and check his YouTube.
He will tell you what's happening. When they always say there's a storm coming or this and that,
yeah.
He'll have the truth and he'll have why it's coming.
Okay.
Or why
okay.
we're getting a drought. He'll show it. They're spraying this area. They're killing all the moisture.
Right.
He knows. He's been threatened many times, but he's doing it.
I bet. And I'm proud of him.
No, I bet.
Yeah.
Telling the truth is not, pretty risky nowadays. But
I know.
It needs to be
Trust
told
me on that one. I
regardless.
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's enough.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
Nick,
who do we have?
Well, we're going to have at 8 o'clock, we're going to have Tom Quinn and we're going to have Gary Arnold.
Okay, cool.
And
okay,
it'll be fun.
Good.
Yeah, at 8 with Mark.
All right.
But
all right.
Nick, you mentioned something about Nevada.
Yeah. sorry. I had to click two mute buttons. But
Uh-oh.
Yeah, when I was coming
I making noise
Nevada,
again? I hope I'm not.
Yeah,
so what happened in Nevada?
Up by Ellis, a little north of Ellis Air Force Base.
Uh-huh.
And you ever watch a movie where they have the guy in the rubber room and he's got the crayon and he's scribbling all over the wall?
That's
and it doesn't matter. It's just like a whole bunch of nonsense, whatever he's putting on the
yes.
wall with the crayon. That's what the sky looked like up there.
Yeah. You're right. It does. Yeah, mentally,
I was going through there and I was looking... when you're driving that many miles, you don't have any. You either look around or you pretty much are. You're comatose. Take your choice.
That's your TV.
So I was looking
on
at
the
sky, and it was just like, man, it looks like some insane person just scribbled all over the sky.
Helter Skelter. Horrible.
Wow.
Yes, I saw it, and I was so happy. It made me feel so great. Yeah, this is rough to watch today. It really was. Where were you when you saw that? You were
right around where Ellis Air Force Base is.
Oh, good. That's nice.
Or Nellis or which one that is.
Which
one
is that? Edwards out there? Or?
No, Edwards is in California, just north of
Palm. Oh, yeah, it sure is. Yeah, I know. I didn't know if you were coming back here or what way you came back.
I was on my way in, so.
Okay.
So, that was the only, and by the way, that's the only time I saw anything that bad. I mean, I saw bits and pieces of it going across the country and everything, but when it got really bad, it's all here in California.
It is here. This is sick. Yeah.
I don't know what to say this. We're like the lab rats, literally the lab rats now.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's that bad. I mean, it's not like one or two or three or four. No. There's 40 or 50 above our heads.
Yes,
and
they are.
No, we're like the experiment now, and it's bad.
Yeah, they're shooting like a bullet across the sky. This is not any kind of commercial airlines. These things are hauling ass, and they're way up there, but. It should look like, if that was a commercial airline, it should look like they're going slow from that altitude. But
perfectly
they're not.
Normal,
they're going
nothing
fast.
To see here. Move along.
Yeah, keep shopping.
Well, what was that? That was a pigeon.
You
just pooped on my head. Thank you.
Okay.
Big pigeon. Yeah, this is creepy. This is a crappy day. I didn't think I'd run into anybody who called me a bird watcher again, but today I got it.
This
guy. The worst war zone
that's
in the world,
big,
and I'm filming this.
Big, long trail of bird shit, let me tell you.
Yeah, he had to go, man. He really did to let loose on that one. The look on his face when they said, a bird watcher? Seriously? Are you seeing what I'm seeing? He goes, yeah, condensation. I go, I gotta go. It's kind of taking my shorts
God.
Right now, you freak. Yeah, I wasn't happy. It's just, I was really rubbed the wrong way today. Ooh, anybody with a mask got my Charlie Manson stare. about an inch away from their nose.
By Charlie Manson.
Take that friggin' thing off, you freak. I'm living up for it today. You know, it's enough already, guys. Going on 3 years here in a couple of days or whatever. You can take it off now. The ashtray on your face is old.
Yeah. And people have been so brainwashed into complying with this whole thing.
I feel bad, in a way. Yeah, it's like being bitten by a snake. They're poisoned. And I don't know how to fix it. You know, they still are afraid. They're all over the place. We still have them here. I thought they were starting to vanish, but they're here. I'm seeing the double maskers, and I don't know what they're saying on the news. I'd like to almost hear it to see what they're scaring them about, but I'm seeing the doublers, man. Two masks and gloves and partridge in a pear tree. It's sick. And I don't know why they're still doing that.
Oh, face it, you just want to kill grandma.
That's it. You caught me.
John Graff, grandma.
You'll see me in the paper. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
God, the gloves today. Ooh-wee.
You want to get rid of grandma, you hire the best.
Are you stoned? I really want to know the truth. Tell the truth. I want to know. I wish I was. I was ready to take every drug in the world today. I really was. I'm on the freeway looking at this zone, and I'm going, my God. Oh. We're attacked. This is it. Pearl Harbor's right here. Nobody's paying attention. Wonderful.
Oh.
Wonderful stuff today, man. Well, at least I've recorded it, and I want people to see this. And also, there's a giant demon face in the sky in my last video. No doubt about it. Giant demon head staring right down on us. Thank you. You know, I just sometimes you see teddy bears and all that with the clouds, but not this one. Take a look at it. It's not pretty. So I don't know if they got, you know, special effects up there or whatever, but that was a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, you know what? I got a lot of calls today from people that didn't believe me. That was good. At least
three.
Go. Are you seeing the sky, John? Yes, I am. I didn't think it was really real. Well,
it's real.
It is. Yeah. It's happening. So at least people are noticing. If they have to kill us to make people notice, that's going to be fun. So I don't know. Not having a good day today, though, I got to tell you. It's just maddening. I'm glad to talk to you guys because you know what's going on here. But most people are out there Christmas shopping and everything.
Christmas shopping. I'm paying bills and paying property tax and praying I can pay my bills, much less Christmas shop. Thanksgiving's like 2 weeks away, much less Christmas shop. I don't know what to tell you on that one. Like, it's like, where are you getting the money to go Christmas shopping? It's hysterical. That's
it's
hysterical.
Not, but it's true. You're so right. We're all broke. We're spending money to buy stuff to protect us from these trails.
Well, Biden's given $100 billion to the Ukraine. You give everybody in America like $100,000 or $250,000, and it would add up to what he's given them. I mean, it's just
I don't think he's giving them anything.
It's bad.
Is he giving them anything? Does he even know what he's doing? I don't even believe this guy's part of the conversation. Why would he be? It's like talking about a cockroach on the floor.
Oh my God. He does nothing.
He puts on a suit, which is a waste of suit. And just stands there while people talk about him. I can't stand any more politics. If this is politics, I'm really done. Because this guy's an embarrassment to the entire planet, not only, you know, the United States. So that's enough of him. So I've had that one. That's done. All my conversations are going to be about this from now on, about what's going on up here, getting people to tip their stupid head back and look. Because they got to see this. It's got to be addressed. It really does. They're going to keep going here, and we're all going to be laying on the sidewalk like jellyfish. Seriously. It's not good. Are you here in L.A., Nick? Oh, I'm talking to my door.
No, sorry, I'm just dealing with something here. I'm here in L.A. already.
Okay.
He's back.
Yeah, sorry. How was the weather back there? Was it like
2.5 hours of sleep in the last 2 days.
Oh, that's not good. Do you want to go to sleep right now? Go ahead. Three Stooges sleeping.
There you go.
I love that.
But it doesn't work unless you get all three of them, though.
Well, I know you got to have it. There's three different sounds. They all have a different snore. It's so funny.
Oh.
I love stuff like that. That's what I've been watching lately, is stuff like that, just to keep my mind in a happier frame.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I understand. Trust me on that one.
And then when something falls on one of their heads, he smacks the other one for waking them up.
Oh, yeah. Wake up and go to sleep.
What was that for? You woke me up.
He doesn't wake up and go to sleep, and he smacks them both in the head. And he's the one snoring. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, I love that stuff. It's just silly, but who cares? I'm trying to think of any good movies.
I don't think those anymore either. Because, you know, you're looking at it, it's all violent now. It's like, oh, shut up.
Oh, God.
Give me some Three Stooges. Give me some Monty Python, Benny Hill, and some Andrew Dice Clay, and some Sam Kinison, okay?
Little Sam screaming. Oh, could you imagine him talking? I wish somebody could do a good impression of him and do it about the chemtrails.
Oh,
God, I would love that. Can you do him? I know you can do
no, I
can, Gilbert.
Yeah. Yeah, Sam Kinison is one of those guys that is pretty unique, and if you ever tried to do it, you'd wreck your voice.
Yeah, you'd blow some cords out in there, man. Tonsils would be hitting the ceiling. But
he had
if anybody
Baptist
out there can do this.
He was like a Baptist preacher or something growing up.
Yeah, he was. So, I wonder if he screamed like that in church, because, man, I'd be running out of that place. Yeah, no, it was fun. If anybody out there can do a Sam Kinison yelling about chemtrails, please send us a tape. I want to hear it. That would be good. Who else would be a good? Oh God, George Carlin. I wonder what he would sound like talking about this.
Oh, he was good at doing what he did.
Oh, he was amazing. He knew everything was going on, and I think they took him away. I really do. I know his wife passed away, and he probably felt horrible and all that, but there's something there. He had it down, and all these creeps about everything, and I really miss that guy. I would love to hear him talking about what's going on right now. Can you imagine? Talking about the vaccines and the trails. And
he would just be shredding everybody.
He would tear it up.
I mean, he did pretty good. He did pretty good while he was alive anyway. So
he really did.
He put everything into perspective. It was pretty much, you know, if you're
right on the money.
I think, you know, you want to put George Carlin in a nutshell, and what he said to everybody was, if you believe this bullshit, you're stupider than I thought. Okay, and that's it.
Or it's a big club and you're not in it. And we're not in it. Yeah. He saw it coming down the track way before a lot of us did. You know? I mean, I knew something was up. The way he spells it out, though, wow. Yeah,
well,
he
had
a
pretty
job.
Good take on it, which was, you know, they asked him, how was it you just get to say what you say? He goes, because I gave up on humanity.
That's right.
You know, you get enough people together to do something, nothing good is going to come out of it. So.
Yeah.
And a lot of times he's right.
He was. That was in that interview when he said that. And,
yeah.
And he did give up. And I can relate big time. I give up too. I've been walking around. There's still people wearing it.
Especially when it comes to the government. I mean, they just got everything.
Yeah,
so
they really roped them in.
The thing is, I get really tired of listening to people going, I don't understand how they can be so stupid. No, you don't get it. If that's what you think, you're the one who's stupid. These people know exactly what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, they do.
They ain't telling you, and they're never going to. And trust me, I've talked to my congressman and my senator, and they're not going to tell you anything that they think.
No, because it's working.
I put them in a compromising position. I mean, they're just going to give you some kind of, like, you know, like that old bit where, you know, the kid comes up to get a picture or an autograph or something. The guy goes, yeah, did you get your picture? Yeah, good. Now go away, kid. You bother me. That's pretty much what they do.
WC Fields, yeah.
Yeah. Now go away, kid. You bother me. And it's like, they give you these half-assed answers that don't really answer anything. and no. expect you to go like, and then they always have this thing where they go, so you see what I'm saying, right? You understand? So I answered your question, right? And you go like, and some people just walk away and go, oh, yeah, okay, I get it. And, you know, they're walking away with a big question mark over there because they have no idea what he said. And I'm the one who's always saying, when they say, oh, so you get it now. I answered your question, right? No, you didn't.
At all. See, they change the subject so badly that you forget what you asked them.
Yeah, that's a technique.
It is a technique.
I've seen a lot of people use it. Yeah, I've seen a lot of people use it in some of these conferences. Part of it is the Delphi technique.
Yeah, during 9/11, I saw a lot of that stuff when they were asking people up at the podium questions, and they twisted stuff so bad you forgot what the hell you asked.
Yeah.
I remember that, a lot of that stuff.
What was the question again?
Yeah, I don't remember, but let me go check my notes. I got to go outside and shoot myself in the face. Yeah. No, lots of stuff like that, though.
No, I don't have any real faith. I've given up on the government. They're never going to do anything for us at this point.
By the way, your guy barely pulled out a victory.
Oh, Ron Johnson? Yeah, that was kind of scary. But nobody else did. And that wasn't, everybody's running around, even the big talking head radio guy in Wisconsin is going, you know, we just didn't have it, and suck it up, everybody, because we didn't really see it coming. It's just like, I'm just sitting back watching everybody going, how stupid are you that you actually thought that this was actually going to go anywhere? And now you're acting all like the day after, like anything is, like everything is just falling apart because you're too stupid to realize who Tim Michaels really was, who was the guy who was running for governor. He was, remember, Wendy?
Yeah.
Some years back when Tim Donnelly was running against Jerry Brown.
Yeah.
And the Republican Party came in, threw in a spoiler, a guy named Neil Cash Carey.
Right.
Just to derail Tim Donnelly's campaign. Well, this is what they did in Wisconsin with this guy, Tim Michaels. And this is my opinion, but I've seen this before, so I'm kind of drawing on some experience here. Tim Michaels was not supposed to win. He was supposed to get in there to derail a couple of other candidates, one really, really good one, one not so good. And he did it. They threw a ton of money and support behind him. He had a lot of his own money, too. And he became the nominee, and he was completely worthless, and nobody could stand him. And when I went to the polls on Tuesday, I wrote in one of the other candidates that got bumped out. And then I only voted for two more offices, and then I wrote in or left blank the rest of them, because it's like I'm tired of having nobody to vote for because the Republican Party establishment wants to keep throwing in these hacks who are there just either spoilers or they're there just to do figureheads and just do what they're told.
Yeah. That's
and anybody
you're
who's
never
good
gonna get anything.
Doesn't stand a chance because the political machine will kick into gear and make sure they never get nominated. And they say, but everybody, they're like, we're shocked that we didn't get the big red wave. And the only thing I can do is just stand there, look at them like they're retarded and go, really?
Yeah, well, there's lots of horrible cheating going on.
I'm not
on.
Shocked by any of it.
Yeah, right. And,
I'm done. It's enough.
And then, you know what? 2 years from now, when we're going to have the next presidential election, a bunch of congressmen in the House of Representatives are going to be up for grabs, and some of the Senates are going to be up for grabs, and they're going to hit us with the saying, this is the most important election of our lifetime. It's going to determine the future of our country. It's like,
please.
Wasn't that the last one? And they're going to trot out all
Biden,
the same stupid talking points. If you get a good candidate, somebody who really wants to run for office, who really believes that they're going to go in there and try to make a difference, the establishment, both Republicans and Democrats, will do everything they can to make sure that they don't get in.
That's all. It's always going to be that.
It's a big club.
What's
and
the point of even going along with any of it? I mean, really. Yeah. The real crimes, nobody's going to address those. They're going to sit there and yak about nothing.
The dumbest thing that somebody said when I said, you know, I'm not even really going to vote this year because, you know, I don't see the point.
I sure didn't.
And they go like, well, what's that going to accomplish?
Well, ask George Carlin.
My question is, what's it going to accomplish if you do? We're going to wind up with the same stupid, crappy people doing the same stupid, crappy stuff that they've been doing for the same stupid, crappy 100-plus years. And then you're all going to act like you won something because the guy had your party affiliation after his name. And meanwhile, they're robbing you blind because you're too stupid to realize who they are.
Yeah, they want your children. This is getting worse now.
No, they want
these people are getting creepy. Yeah, they do. Yeah, this is really insane. We get all these crimes right in our face, but yet they don't address any of that.
And the other people I'm tired of are the ones who go, we can't really, we're going to get real good change as long as we vote this party in. Like, really? When does that ever happen?
Right? Yeah, let us pick who this is. I mean, you can't do this.
We have to get the Republicans in because otherwise we're still headed towards a cliff. And it's just like, you think the Republicans weren't pushing us that way when they were in power?
I remember when Newt Gingrich got in his wave of Republicans, and they didn't go after the Clintons, they didn't go after anybody, they didn't do anything, and we were like, what is going to come on? So when I see Newt Gingrich on TV, I have to laugh my ass off because he was absolutely worthless.
And had a bad
name me one person in recent history besides Ron Paul who's going after the Federal Reserve.
I can't think of
it. I don't know if it's up to the Federal Reserve, but Jordan's done some stuff, and there's another guy, Gowdy. He did some stuff.
No, I mean, when I say go after him, I mean put a bill out there and do everything you can to get it passed that says the Federal Reserve Act is now being repealed.
Yeah,
I agree. I know.
Well,
how many people? A few of them. They get out there and they beat their chest and they scream and holler at the top of their lungs like they're doing something. Yes. Why is Anthony Fauci still out there? Why did he still have a job right now?
That's what I want to know.
He should be in jail.
Oh God!
He should be in jail.
You guys heard the music guru, right?
The music guru?
Yes.
What is
he does a lot of songs about what's going on right now. I'm telling you, the guy is a genius. He's talking about everything, but he made a song, that Billy Joel song, what's that one where he keeps going on and on about different things in the world.
We Didn't Start the Fire?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, he changed it to we shouldn't, buy these liars.
Yeah.
But it's so good. And he talks about every single thing, and chemtrails, I mean, you name it, and it's so good. I can't believe you guys haven't heard that guy. He's amazing. He's all over the internet, and he does an amazing job of his videos are funny. He's in them. He's doing special effects. It's great. So the music guru, I can't think of the guy's name, but he's amazing. So that's funny.
I know who you're talking about.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard him.
He does a lot of space things, and he does flat earth stuff and all that stuff. But he does things that are happening here. And that last one I heard today was so amazing. Wow. He just covered everything in the world right there in 2 seconds. So I don't know. I just don't know what to think anymore. But today was a miserable day in my life.
Make it easy. I just don't believe him anymore. I don't believe him about anything.
You know,
when they get up there on their stupid stump speeches, which I've heard way too many of, we're here, we're going to fight for this and make sure that you have what you need. And then I'm just sitting in the back going, oh, shit.
They're going to tell you everything you want to hear until they're in there. And then guess what?
I want to go to one of those stupid rallies where they have a bunch of people, maybe not too many, but, enough people. And pull like the Animal House on them when they were at their at their trial. Blood up, bullshit. Just start ripping into because that's all. They never tell you the truth. They're gonna promise you the world and deliver nothing.
Uh, I think the first one was Eat Me, and then it was the blowjob, and it was hysterical. Yeah.
But it's, I mean, that's all they deserve because they simply just, they never follow through with anything, and then they turn around and tell you that they are. Yeah, I kept up my promise on that. Really? I didn't see it, so.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not the way you thought it was. Well, maybe not the way you sold it to us. How about we do that one?
Yeah. Well,
so,
this is,
I just
wish I could hear one person talking about the things we're talking about here. I mean, the stuff going on.
They're never going
to. The real stuff. Well, then why would we even waste our time? We can't breathe. I felt like crap all day today. I have a hard time breathing. But I know that's going on. But if you're not going to talk about the real deal, why would you waste your gas to go put their stupid name down? Because they're all criminals, all of them. You wouldn't be in there if you weren't a criminal. You're not allowed. That's the first thing you got to put on your line. Yes, I'm a criminal.
Yeah, well, like George Carlin said, it isn't going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got.
I know. God.
I mean,
I'm not happy. Damn it, but he's right. You know, you might as well, okay, well, I'll go to 31 flavors.
Here's gonna be the funny
poison.
Thing. Well, here's going to be the funny thing to me is people who voted to put the current crop in office. The ones who actually made it through. Of course, there's a couple of races that are still up and being fought. But like when my senator, Ron Johnson, say he doesn't follow through with anything and people start getting mad at him for it. And I'm just going to be, you put him there. It's your responsibility, not mine.
Right.
Okay. I didn't vote for the guy. I didn't vote. Matter of fact, in that race, I didn't vote for anybody. Guess what? I don't bear any responsibility whatsoever. You can't complain. I get to complain as loud as I want to.
Yep, George Carlin. He's got something to show
you
for.
You gave him the job.
Yeah.
So.
We're being played like a freaking fiddle every day, and I won't do it. I won't look at the television. Oh, the television now commercials are, we have to keep, I think I told you this in the last show or whatever, but we have to keep the candy cigarettes away from the kids because it might lead them into smoking. Is that the big problem?
The candy,
honest to God, there's a commercial
the thing,
every 5 minutes.
Do they even have candy cigarettes anymore?
No, in 1972, I think I saw the last pack. But yeah, but it could be the
bubble gum,
too, but
they used to have bubblegum cigarettes. It was hysterical. But listen
I remember,
to me. The problem is that, and this is what I found out, that the junior hires, the 6th to 7th graders, they're all vaping. And,
yes,
they,
exactly.
and listen, and the parents don't know it, but what happens, Nick, this is some of the stories that I've heard. After about 2 years after the 6th and the 7th graders have been vaping, and I'm just listening to me, all of a sudden they're sick and the mother says, no, like this, my kid, I got to take the kid to the doctor. So the mother takes the kid to the doctor. The doctor says, listen, I don't know how to tell you this, but I've been listening to your daughter's or son's chest, and we took an x-ray. She says, he goes, hey, man, your son and daughter, are they smoking? And she goes, what are you talking about? He goes, well, I'm being honest with you. We just took the x-ray of the chest. He goes, look at your son and daughter. They're only 12 or 13, 11. And she goes, they have to go back into the kid, and the kid, they'll say to the kid, hey, are you smoking? Are you vaping? And then they nod that they're vaping. And the thing about this is, I guess if you vape, it's like smoking 5 or 10 cigarettes compared to a cigarette. Not that I think cigarettes are great. No, I don't smoke. But I guess if you vape, it's like smoking a half a pack of cigarettes. So if they do it 2 or 3 times a day, Nick, for all of a sudden about a year or two, and then the kid's got really bad bronchitis and kid can't hardly move. The mother takes him to the doctor only to find out that the kid is vaping. And then the doctor says, listen, if you don't have your kid stop vaping, we're going to have to remove the lung or something. This kid won't make it past 30, 25, because the damage is done. So this has happened in the last – this is probably, unfortunately, in the last 10 years – It's the
less even.
It's the elementary kids, believe it or not, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth graders who have been vaping. So they're not smoking cigarettes; they're vaping. And like I said, vaping
right.
is like a five or half a pack of cigarettes. So they do it two or three times a day. And guess what? They're doing horrendous damage to their lungs. And the doctor, and then they come in, and the mother's like, "Where did you get the money?" They're like, "Out of your purse." And they're like, "Oh my god!" And now you're starting to like going, you wonder why you're short sometimes, or da 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 da, because the kid's been vaping. So this is the problem, Nick. It's a bad thing. I don't have to tell you, but the kids are vaping.
I don't vape.
It's too dangerous. It's just it's like smoking a half a pack of cigarettes.
Look into it. It's got the heavy metals are twice as much as the cigarettes and stuff.
Right, yeah.
And then they want kids to stay away from it, but they got flavors like strawberry shortcake.
And bubble gum, and
bubble gum flavors of vaping. Yeah, that's going to help keep it away from the kids. Lollipops. Tootsie Pop flavor.
We got raspberry flavored crack. You want some?
I would like some now if you have any, really. I really would like that.
So, but unfortunately.
Yeah. Crap.
Unfortunately,
yeah,
it's pretty bad. And that's what's happened the last, I think, like 5 to 10 years, really bad. And you have to talk to your kid when your kid's a third and fourth grader and fifth grader and say, "Hey, I don't want you smoking. I don't want you vaping." And also, too, they don't talk about this, Nick, and they've had a horrible problem. But in places like Target or just various liquor stores or various stores, The younger kids have found out that they can walk into stores and just walk out with items and not be because of the – in California, because they passed a law that you can steal $995.
Yeah, I've heard that, yes.
So
$950.
Horrible, tremendous amounts of young kids and junior hires especially, I'm not lying, literally walk into stores – put something on and walk out and know that they're not even going to be stopped because of the law in California. So this has caused horrible problems.
I've heard that too. Ridiculous. Especially if you're stealing vape stuff. They'll be like, "Oh, do you need an extra pipe? Here. Just steal that too." Yeah, the vaping is bad. It was worse like a year ago. I'd walk around and I'd see everybody vaping around me. It's like, what the hell? It's like a fire. It's like, it's so much.
And then people complain when the stores all start closing down. You mean we have to go all the way over to the good neighborhoods in order to get the stuff that we need? That's a long way away. It's like, well, then stop stealing from the one in your own neighborhood.
Right. Vaping looks like Cheech and Chong when you see somebody in their car doing it. It's like they're up in smoke. It's just smoke coming out of both windows. Holy crap. Yeah, that's nuts.
Well, yeah, vaping was actually sold as like the healthy alternative to smoking.
Yeah, it was. It was a total BS because I watched a bunch of stuff on that. Heavy metals are sick. And you're blowing it on other people and it's still got heavy metals all through it. So I was getting kind of, I used to not care. I was like, "Oh, he's probably healthy now. He's not good." Wrong.
Well, it's like the hospitals coming in when they try to get people off of heroin. They give you oxycodone or hydrocodone, the healthy alternative to heroin.
Ah, that'll help.
Like, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. No,
this one has sprinkles on it. Go ahead. This one's better.
Sprinkles. Shoot me in the face. I'm so tired of fighting this. It's like every day, get up in I should have a uniform. Put on my helmet, put on my uniform, and go outside. Look at the sky. Right, there's the war.
So I'm waiting for him to actually come out and admit that, yes, we have been doing geoengineering and chemtrailing, but we're doing it because it's healthy for you.
Yeah, it's much like vaping, but higher. Yeah.
It's a healthier form of air that we're giving you.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, they've admitted it a couple of times. They've admitted saying that they're doing this for, you know, whatever, to send the old, whatever, sun back into space.
Kids are going
to
be so laden with heavy metals, they're going to go into the pool and just sink to the bottom.
They are like an anchor.
So the vaping has really caused lots of problems, but again, it's especially amongst the teenagers, and let me tell you something. Like I said, the kids aren't necessarily smoking cigarettes as they're vaping. And but the problem is some of these kids have really done a number on their bodies, and then it's when the parents take the kids to the emergency room, took them to the doctors, they do some tests, like I said, to the chest, to take an X-ray, and they're like, listen, we don't know how to tell you this, but your kid's got seriously lung problems, emphysema. Like, what are you talking about? They're like, look. Then the parent goes in to talk to the kids, says, look, you've got to be honest with us now. You just took an X-ray of your chest, and it looks like something like a black cloud. What's going on? Then the kid, like, yeah, cops do it. Yeah, I've been doing it. Like, you know, and the parents have no idea that the kid's been vaping for 2 or 3 years, maybe more.
And the kids are probably going to go, no, I wasn't vaping. I just got the vaccine and the boosters.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. For some of the kids who have been vaping and took the bioweapon, they're in serious trouble. Yeah. Because their body eventually, you know, they have the previews to the movie Die Suddenly, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
Is that out?
It comes out on the 21st. Comes out on the 21st, but if you go to...
It doesn't go in theaters, right? It doesn't go in theaters. It comes out every other way.
But right? It's on a couple of the Gab, and what's the other one? I can't think of it.
Come on,
a bunch of them.
Twitter. Put it in the theaters.
Yeah.
Put it in the damn theaters.
And you can watch it. It's called Die Suddenly, check it out. Yeah. So,
Have you seen it?
I've seen the pre.
The trailers are
out.
There's trailers. It's called.
Yeah.
You can go. Yeah. And it's out. Pretty shocking.
I just wonder if people will watch this. There's so many people that just don't believe any of this, even if it's a movie. I believe CNN. They're telling the real truth. They won't even bother to see it.
What can I tell you? The people watching CNN are already dead. I don't know what to tell you.
They pretty much are.
Okay. Well,
they are.
To me, is they'll put these documentaries out, you know, the health ones or the... like the Alex Jones ones or, you know, whoever.
Yeah.
You know, there's about 1,000 people making documentaries about all this stuff now. And then as soon as it gets out, if it gets any kind of play whatsoever, the propaganda spin machine goes into full gear, and you'll start talking to people, and you go, hey, have you seen this movie? Oh, yeah, I did, but then so-and-so came out and said it was all bunk, so I don't believe any of it. It's like, oh, okay.
Exactly.
Because you saw it on TV that said it was bunk.
Yeah, well, the news isn't going to sit there and go, you got to go see it, folks. This is it.
Yeah. Brian Stelter said it wasn't any good. It wasn't real. Really, Brian Stelter said, huh?
Wow.
Ooh, that's an authority right there.
Up behind me.
Oh, God.
That is the epitome of journalistic integrity is right there with Brian Stelter.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm jumping on that one right away.
I can already see him over at his job in Harvard. Hey, somebody's over there talking about me. My ears are burning. You guys are Revolution Radio. Stop talking about me.
I think we should just send Mr. Bill to some of these houses. Mr. Bill.
Oh, no.
Tell you what, that would be, how great would that be if you could do that to some of these journalists out there?
I know.
Done.
Oh, that would be so awesome. I'd watch. Yeah.
Yeah, they
giant foot.
Yeah.
Here's
how this
works.
Who is his enemy, Sluggo?
Here's how this works. If you spin, if you lie, if you try to do anything the way that steps outside the box of journalistic integrity and ethics, that foot drops right on top of you. Oh, did we mention there's about 60 billion tons of rocks in there? So, good luck.
Yeah. Sluggo. Wasn't that the guy that was his enemy? Or am I wrong? Was that Mr. Bill? Sluggo was the enemy, or was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Sluggo.
Or was that on Gumby? I'm not sure. My brain is kept still on no, trails right now. I think Sluggo was. No, Sluggo was Mr. Bill. This is very important stuff, guys. Forget politics. We need to talk about this.
There you go.
I know. Wendy wants to talk about this for an hour or two.
I know, but how many minutes before the break, Nick, right now?
Why, you got to go to the bathroom?
No, it's just...
Like two.
Oh, sorry.
About two. I figured out we're right about there. That's where we're at it. Well, we're going to get into some more serious stuff with Gary Arnold and, of course, Tom Quinn and Mark will be... Yeah, but will there be a few surprises probably from Tom, so if I know... You know, just be honest. He'll be talking about a few things. So he's a smart man.
Okay, well, I like surprises.
KFCO up in San Francisco. And he's on tomorrow, I think, from 12 to 1, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll make sure he gives it out, too. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Basically, guys, I know Nick's a little tired. We've talked about things. One of the things, too, we're going to talk about some about the election, a little bit about the election. Which I know that really won't warm Nick's heart. And then a couple of things I'm sure Tom's going to throw
either.
In as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll tell you something. It's never been a dull moment since Monday. Did you have fun Tuesday, by the way, Nick, covering the show?
Yeah, it was all right. I kept calling it the Red Ripple because that was all it was.
Ripple?
Yeah, it wasn't going to come out the way they wanted it to. So,
well, there were some horror stories in Pennsylvania and some horror stories, of course, in Arizona.
Yeah,
and
they're still having
country.
Horror stories out of Arizona right now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
Fun. Yeah, I missed
all
like that.
40 or 50 machines didn't work. People pressed buttons and got, you know, instead of voting through the pitches, they got the apples and. Yeah.
Well, the funniest one to me was when the people showed up to vote in the morning and they said, the voting machines aren't working. Just fill out your ballot and put them in this box. We'll make sure they get to where they need to go.
That's
right.
guys, hold on. We're going to continue this conversation. We'll be right back for the second hour of the Granada Farm Radio program on Revolution Radio. I've got Tom Quinn of KFCO. I've got Gary Arnold coming in, Mark Gonzalez. Hold on. We'll be right back.
This is Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio, Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's Ivan, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Or not. I don't know where Wendy went, but I'm going to try to get Gary and Tim on. So hold on. Sure, Wendy's here someplace.
Hello?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to get our guests on, so.
Oh, wow. He's getting nervous.
Hello, we are not available now. Please leave your name and phone number after the...
Okay. We're back.
Yeah, we've been back.
Sorry about that one. Okay, sorry about that. Okay, so is everybody on, or did Mark on, and Tom and Gary?
They've been abducted.
Okay, I'm calling Tom.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I'm probed. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Tom.
How you doing?
How you doing? Thank you for joining us.
Doing great. I talked to Gary earlier. I guess he was sort of indisposed, but hopefully you can have him on some other evening.
No problem. No problem.
So how's life treating you guys?
Thank you so much. Is Mark on with us too?
Calling him now.
Calling him now. Okay, hold on. All right, good. Tom, can you give out your website and the show that you're on and when, time, and where?
Sure. So it's the Tom Quinn Show. It's on KSCO.com. That's like Kilo Sam Charlie Oscar.com. So it's a big talk radio station in Northern California out of Santa Cruz. They have an archive for the shows we've done in the past. And also you can hear it live. And the show will be tomorrow, Saturday, from noon to 1. That's California time, West Coast time. And we'll have on Dr. Robert Young talking about how evil these vaccines are, among other things. And indeed, that's something I wanted to talk about some today, because they're really worse than what... I mean, I think a lot of people know they're bad, but they're even worse than that.
Tom, do you have a number for KFCO?
You mean like a phone number?
No. The numbers are like 980 or something.
Oh, yeah, 1080 AM on the AM dial.
Okay, 1080?
Yeah, 1080 AM.
1080, okay.
So we'll start up at noon. The first part of the show, we'll have Warren Heatley on, who was the gentleman who organized the recall. And he'll probably be talking about what happened up in Sacramento and the election results. And then...
Yeah.
Then we'll switch over to Dr. Robert Young.
Cool. Cool. Wow. Is Mark on with us, Nick? He's working on that. Okay.
Yeah.
He should be.
Mark,
you
there?
On the call, so.
Yeah, how's everybody doing?
There
okay,
you
great. All right, all right. So let me ask you something, Tom. Do you want to talk a little bit about election, and then we'll go into, like, some COVID stuff or a little thing? But what would you...
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
That'd be fine. Something that I think has to be pushed all across the United States, if not all over the world, is we got to get rid of these Dominion voting machines and Diebold voting machines. And
absolutely.
It's all garbage. Absolute garbage. And basically... the way it is now is that I'm not going to go into which company does this, but I'd heard for years that if you were a crooked Republican or a crooked Democrat and you paid them enough money, they'd tilt the election your way using the voting machines. I work in electronics, and there's no way you can have secure electronics. There's always some company or some government that's got teams of hackers that can jump inside your computers and jump inside your voting machines and goof things up. And indeed, they have these big hacker conventions, and they often have the voting machines there, and they just have contests to see how fast they can hack into them. They're laughable. They use, like, a very primitive form of Microsoft software, which in and of itself is a danger signal, since just about everything Bill Gates touches turns to garbage. So, so to look at the thing from the big perspective, this needs to be a nationwide and a worldwide issue, and we need to return to absolute simplicity. And I'd use as a benchmark ancient Greece. In ancient Greece, for example, the elections they would have in places like Sparta and Athens were... You would be outside in like an open-air coliseum with a stage, and you'd have some government officials at the front. There'd be thousands of people there. You'd be given a black rock and a white rock, and you'd walk in front of everyone to the stage, and there'd be a box there, and you'd drop in one of the two rocks. Now, you tell me how you'd cheat. I mean, it's so simple.
Why don't we do that?
Pardon me?
Why don't we do that now? That's good.
It's fine with me. It's fine with me, but it needs to be that
sort of
simplicity. So basically, here, you know, if they're going to use paper ballots, which is what it should be. There should only be paper ballots, and they should be, of course, this, you know, maybe you could do the rock system again, but for now, the paper ballots with the carbon copy. The carbon copy is given to the voter. The voter takes it home. And that way, if the paper ballot's modified, we have a carbon copy that can be checked. If there's an audit of the election, they should only have the voting on the one day. There should be no absentee ballots at all, with the possible exception of the military. And at those military areas, they should have poll boxes, too, with regular formal voting. They should have a signature, a thumbprint. A lot of countries use thumbprint. Some countries, they even have an ultraviolet liquid they put on your thumb so you can't come back a second time to vote. And also, you need some sort of government-approved ID that basically establishes you're a U.S. citizen. So that would be a relatively tight system, and it would be difficult to cheat. And as far as I'm concerned, by constantly pushing on this issue, we'll flush out in the open the crooked Republicans and Democrats who are gaming the system, because they wouldn't like this at all. They're pushing for a system that's so loose that they can cheat whenever they feel like it. And if you notice, they try to move the discussion into accusing the Democrats of cheating or accusing the Republicans of cheating, like Hillary Clinton did. And basically, that just goes around in circles like a cat chasing its own tail. It has to go to the actual structure of the way the voting's set up, which is back to paper ballots, one-day voting, nothing in the mail. Thousands of ballots loading through the mail. That's insanity. So the whole system is laughable, and it has to be reformed from top to bottom. So that's my take on the last election, or any of these elections. We don't know how much cheating they're doing. And, you know, the media in this election is making, or a lot of the people are making the claim it's the Democrats cheating, but there's been times in the past where it appeared the Republicans are cheating. So...
Oh, God.
It really needs to be a non-negotiable hue and cry across the country with no negotiation. In fact, we could probably find some smaller area, some smaller county or some smaller city to vote when the city council or the board of supervisors return the paper ballots, and to create a news sensation, get all the voting machines in the public square and smash them with sledgehammers. And invite
like
the
this.
Media to send it out to
like
tell
it.
The world what we think of these voting machines.
Yes, and televise it, because this is good. Good idea.
Yeah. It's my understanding that the voting machine that's the most controversial was initially created. And by the way, I'm not mentioning its name right this second, just because they would try to retaliate by filing lawsuits against media outlets that would criticize them. Which is more probably proof of their criminal intent. But it was specifically designed to put Hugo Chavez in Venezuela. In other words, it was created to be crooked from day one.
How rare.
It was always crooked. So it's just garbage. We want to get rid of this stuff. It's just disgusting. The other thing that I don't think is really mentioned as much as it should is that people who think that voting is a panacea are overlooking the fact that just going to a polling place and scratching a few marks on a piece of paper, that's not what it takes to have a good community or a good state or a good country. These are people that should go out and talk to neighbors and friends, because there's a lot going on that people aren't hearing about in the media.
Of course.
I think everyone who's got any sort of conscience should talk to neighbors and friends and strangers. When I'm at the gas station, I'll pass out literature that explains how dangerous the vaccines are, especially if I see moms with, you know, carloads full of kids. They don't realize how dangerous these vaccines are, or they don't know about the issues. They're watching this garbage on TV, and they're confused, essentially. Befuddlement is the word. They're just clueless. And I have that in my own family. There's some people in my family that know what's going on, and some are just dumb as corks.
And they want to be. They won't look at that stuff. They won't look at anybody telling them anything. They'll watch CNN, and they'll
follow the direction. My family, too. I got people like that, too. Suck.
Well, we have a moral obligation to talk to them the best we can, and at a certain point,
I do it.
If they ignore you, they're just hurting themselves. I mean, I've been doing these radio shows for over 20 years, and I started reading books on how dangerous vaccines were back in the 1960s. No one's going to convince me that any good comes out of these vaccines ever. And if I see someone like Bell Bigtree or Robert Kennedy or Andrew Wakefield say that they're looking for a safer vaccine, I immediately get suspicious of them.
I do, too. I hear you on that. There should be none. Get those needles out of people's bodies. They got an immune system. Leave it alone.
Tom,
well, the thing is, this goes back to setting a principle, a non-negotiable principle. We don't negotiate about the voting machine things. They're garbage. They've long smashed up in the land heap, or maybe they can recycle the electronics. It's the same with the vaccines. The vaccines are garbage. There's no unicorn vaccine out in the forest somewhere that's going to save people. They're all garbage.
Agreed. Tom, my question is, if we can't trust Del Bigtree or Bobby Kennedy or Peter McCullough, who do we trust?
Well, there's no shortage of people that figured this out. Let's get down to this thing of non-negotiable essentials, the getting rid of the voting machines, paper ballots, one of them. So let's move over to this COVID thing. And there's never been any proof of the existence of viruses. Viruses are a made-up paradigm created by the Rockefeller Foundation around 1900 as a way of pushing vaccines. They're total.
Thank you.
It's a total illusion. So that's point number one. Anyone who starts rambling on about vaccines or viruses just doesn't understand the score. And some of those people might be friends of ours who are clueless, but a lot of them are controlled opposition. So point number one, there never has been viruses. It's made up. Germs and bacteria are real. Viruses aren't. And we can go into more explanation of that later. Point number two, there never has been COVID. COVID's made up. They were creating the test through using different poisons in the hospitals by recategorizing people from flu, pneumonia, bronchitis over to COVID. And also recently, everyone who's dying from COVID is generally dying from the vaccine. And that's just the way it is. There is no COVID. The third point, which is very important, is the PCR test. You cannot test for something that doesn't exist. The PCR tests were invented by Dr. Kari Mullis, who got the Nobel Prize. And he lived here in California, and he was a pretty straight-up dude. And he basically was publicly challenging Fauci, calling him a liar and a criminal, because he knew they were using the PCR device as a prop, like a stage prop, like a totem, like a voodoo doctor would put some rocks in a skull on a stick and shake it in front of people to scare them. That's all the PCR device was. It has absolutely no capability of testing for viruses because viruses don't exist. What it does do is that they turn the cycles up high enough. It's like going to a casino, and it basically just picks out random numbers, which means one person they'll say has COVID, another person they'll say doesn't, and it's totally randomness. So this whole pandemic was a pandemic of fake testing. So that's point number three.
I think Dr. Ely put it succinctly that everything that they presented, all things COVID, were based on fraud and lies, and they were able
absolutely.
To demonstrate it.
Absolutely.
And the thing is, what also disturbs me about the PCR test is the untimely death of Kari Mullis himself.
Absolutely.
And I was wondering if you have any information on the suspicious nature of him passing at a very convenient time.
Well, he died at 74. The family said he died normally, but just about everyone and his brother noticed or couldn't help but notice he died just about a month before this whole shit show started. So it was ever too convenient to pull the plug on that dude, because you can go on the internet today and see all sorts of old videos where he explains the PCR test cannot be used for medical diagnosis, where he explains that Fauci and his friends are criminals, where he explains he can never find any proof of the existence of the HIV virus. he goes on and on. He's quite thorough, and I encourage people to look him up. The fourth
he's a
point,
target, for sure.
The fourth non-negotiable point, which I mentioned earlier, vaccines have never worked. Vaccines, you know, had their modern initiation about the time of Edward Jenner. That was about 1780, and he came up with this nonsense. He was a fake doctor. He paid a few bucks and got a fake doctor's degree, and he started experimenting, taking the pus from cows and horses, putting a slice on someone's arm, injecting it into the cut, and it would create a scab and an infection there, and they felt that that was somehow going to give someone protection from smallpox. And he was experimenting on his neighbors and friends, and he killed his own boy. His own boy died from him fiddling around with this nonsense. He killed the neighbor's boy, Phipps. And what happened, the two boys managed to live for a few years longer, but by the time they were 20, they both died of complete immune system collapse. And that is what always happens from these vaccines, because you can't keep injecting heavy metals and all sorts of random poisons into people's arms, into their bloodstream, and expect them to stay healthy. But why does it keep going along? Because doctors make money out of it. It's a con job. It's a type of superstition. And they've got a certain percentage of people believing it, and it's nonsense. So that's the fourth point. And the fifth point is, which isn't brought up as much as it should, is that the reason why we have a U.S. Constitution is to protect us from the sort of dictatorial powers that we saw exercised over the last 2 years. And there's absolutely nothing in the Constitution that allows a two-bit, non-entity, non-elected, so-called health official to throw the Constitution out for months or years on end. And people have to stand up for their God-given rights. Otherwise, they're taken advantage of by these cretins.
You know, I was going to ask you, Tom, did you read the article in The Atlantic by Emily Oster about pandemic amnesty for all the people who orchestrated this pandemic?
Yeah, I'd be curious to know who put her up to it, because it might have just popped out of her own head, or the powers that be might have told her to write it just to see how upset we are. Well, you would think that I try to spend some time in prayer so that I don't get too upset, and I think that's very important that people pray and ask for God's guidance every day, but you would think
that the
business owners that lost their business, that the families that lost their grandparents that were murdered with remdesivir, that the families that saw their children turned into zombies with brain damage and such from these COVID vaccines, the families that might come to realize their little girls have been sterilized by various chemicals in the vaccine, the people who saw, you know, the crime and chaos unfold where they say that all the small companies were non-essential businesses, but the corporations that were connected to the World Economic Forum were essential. I mean, this whole thing is a big criminal enterprise, and it gets into what the nature of the World Economic Forum is and what the United Nations is, which is an association of criminal gangs, those gangs being the modern equivalent called corporations. And they're just various criminal gangs trying to take over this country, trying to take over that country, and trying to destroy their competition. And that's all that the COVID thing was. That's all that the lockdowns were. That's Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates and all of his buddies. As they sit and have meetings and they say, well, I had a friend that used to go to UN meetings just to watch and see what they're up to. And she sat in on meetings where the room would be full and they would be discussing auctioning off the water rights to, say, Ecuador or some country or some area. Yeah. And the proposition was that once you paid like a licensing fee for the water rights of Ecuador, you would not only own the water in the rivers, you would own the rainwater. You'd own all the water, the well water, everything, which means to steal people's mineral rights and water rights over an entire country. And this is the way these people think. They're psychopaths. They're extreme monopolists. And basically, this is just another variant of fascism. And communism is the same thing. Communism.
Yeah.
A communist is a globalist. that only has $10 in his pocket, whereas a globalist is a communist that has $1 billion in his pocket. They're the same people. they're the same people, and they're up to no good.
No kidding. Wow.
You know, I was going to ask you, Tom, what do you think about all of the undetermined votes for different elections across the United States? I heard there's over 30 contested ones right now, and most prominently, I think it would be Miss Lakes in Arizona. Do you have any information on her results? And they're very accurate.
Well,
it seems like all these races are, you know, they're so close. There's so many votes in between, and they're so close. And I mean, that just seems like,
well, it's just more of the cheating. It's more of the cheating, yeah. Because they want to cheat in such a way that it sort of seems plausible. And basically, if they can win by cheating so much and it just looks like their candidate won by a few thousand votes, maybe people won't complain too much. But the whole thing needs to be renovated from top to bottom. I mean, as far as I can tell, Carrie Lake was very popular in Arizona. That other lady, I forget her name, she was a real neeb. I mean, she was afraid to even...
I think it was Katie Hobbs. Katie Hobbs,
there you go. She was afraid to even debate with Carrie Lake. And I can't blame her, really. Carrie Lake's a very persuasive speaker. She's got good stage presence. She speaks well. She's hitting the issues hard. That's what we need.
And she knows how the media operates, so she's very articulate when she responds to them.
You sort of see the same thing with Herschel Walker. What state is that? Is that Georgia? Herschel Walker versus... that other dude, the other guy is like a hardcore leftist communist type. You know, a lot of these races are, I 100% certain they're cheating like crazy. I'm not going to get too specific here because it takes some time to figure it out, but they're clearly up to no good. And we got one of the chief ones here in California, Newsom, Trudeau, Macron in France. Boris Johnson, England, all the, Putin even, were all people connected to the World Economic Forum. And they have these young leader conferences, which basically teaches politicians how to be tyrants. And I assume the model they're using is the model I mentioned earlier. They tell these politicians that you can loot the country. If you help us take over, you can loot the country. We'll help you do whatever you want. So you had Schwab, Klaus Schwab, bragging in front of cameras in conferences where he was being videotaped about how he used the word penetrated, how they had penetrated so many governments. And then he goes on to say that they had so successfully penetrated the Canadian government that essentially everyone in the cabinet, including Trudeau, were all World Economic Forum creatures, which is basically admitting in so many words that they were involved in treason on a vast scale to the citizens of Canada.
Well, it seems like that's happening in Brazil as well.
The same thing in Brazil. Bolsonaro probably beat the pants off Lula. Lula's a, you know, total communist, corrupt. He should have been in prison, but because he had pointed a bunch of people to the Supreme Court, they let him go after a couple of years, and he should have been in prison longer. Yeah, that's by the way, just to mention more of the COVID fakeness, Bolsonaro was one of the people that reacted to this thing when it first started correctly, and he said right at the beginning he thought the thing was a fraud, and basically there was a major hospital in one of the cities, I don't remember, it was San Paulo or whatever, that was more or less run by leftists, and they shut down the whole hospital, and they'd make these videotapes and put them on social media saying everyone's dying, that there's, oh, they got bulldozers, and they dig big holes in the backyard, you know, in the field, and saying, well, we got so many bodies, we can't use graves, we got to just pour them in. And basically, they were trying to create the whole pandemic fear. Why do they want pandemic fear? That's the sales ingredient they need to get people to take the vaccines.
Of course.
But Bolsonaro was sort of suspicious about this, and some of his buddies went down there and they broke into the hospital at night, and there was no one inside there. The whole thing was fake. It was just
a shocker.
More stage show. Like, remember those hospitals in New York City? They'd have refrigerated trucks diesel truck sitting outside in the back part of the hospital with their engines running. They said, it's all filled with coffins. And then they had all these tents, and people would go look at the tents, and there was no people in the tent. But they were saying they needed the tents because there were so many dead bodies. This is
that goes along the lines
that was bad.
Where they docked those Red Cross ships on the East Coast and the West Coast, said there was going to be a hospital overflow, and then when they went to go check the boats in the harbors, they were completely empty.
I know, it was a joke.
Of course.
Yeah,
it's to create the fear.
Horse crap. That's how they control everything. Yeah,
it's fear because people lose their ability to think clearly.
Did they
and that's why
mentor?
Prayer is so important. You know, people need to pray for God's wisdom.
Exactly.
Go ahead. You were about to say something?
Yeah, Tom. You know, they had a Measure A here to provide for removing an elected sheriff, and it passed by an overwhelming percentage of votes. I was going to say, did they have the same type of measure in Northern California as well for the sheriffs?
At this point in time, I don't think that's happened, but Warren Heatley, the dude who helps me on the first part of the radio show talking about issues in Sacramento, he's a retired deputy from Yolo County. This is the gentleman who did the whole recall, which was the biggest collection of signatures, I think, in the history of the United States. They collected something like 2.5 million signatures to throw Gavin Newsom out. So he was very concerned about that, and he had mentioned that to me, you know, some time ago. But that's, you know, that's just more of the same, because the, you know, you think about it, when you were a kid, you'd watch the old Robin Hood movies, and there was a Sheriff of Nottingham, so that's like the 12th century or something. That's a long time. They've been having sheriffs for just about 1,000 years or more.
That's so true.
And ideally, they were a local person that you could trust, that you grew up with, and you knew he was going to be a straight-up person. So I could see where it was like the Los Angeles Board of Supervisors was that they were trying to make sure they could control who was sheriff, because I think you have a sheriff down there currently. I forget his name, but I've heard good things about
Bill
him.
Villanueva.
Villanueva.
Yeah, he was one of the ones that stood up to a lot of this COVID nonsense, and I hear a lot of his officers refuse to get vaccinated, which is good.
Vaccinated was that the Board of Supervisors wanted them to write tickets for people who weren't wearing masks, and he was just like, listen, if they're outside, we're not going to ticket people, we're not going after people to write, and they got mad, and he said, listen, this, I'm not going to do something like this, there's still not enough evidence, that there's other things, there's other factors, we've got other stuff to worry about, and yet they got pissed off, and because they this convoluted fake prophecy of COVID. So they put this on the ballot, and I voted no on it. Trust me. I know the voting machines are cheating, because I know the half of these propositions passed, and I just like thought, no way, no way.
Well,
and,
you had that clown. Who was the clown district attorney? What was his name? No,
oh, Gaston. Yeah, he's just horrible.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, because we had the same thing in San Francisco, close to where I live. He was a, you know, evil clown that used to let all the criminals go, but Chelsea
right.
Boudin, and they voted him out, and so everyone assumed they'd throw out Gascon too, but they would not allow people to examine the signatures. They tried to hide everything, which is just, as far as I'm concerned, just proves they're cheating.
Guilt.
So,
guilty.
So Gascon's got to go. He's that was one of the things that Soros was doing, was going around the United States and putting in crooked district attorneys that he could
right.
control, and they would not enforce crime.
No.
I mean, you have this law that Newsom and his clown signed that you can steal, you know, $950 or whatever and not
yeah.
be arrested. And so,
right.
What is that all about, though? What is the true thing behind that? That drives me nuts.
Well, you got to get in an airplane and go up high and look at the big picture. The big picture is the World Economic Forum, which is connected to the United Nations and a lot of these globalist corporations. They
yeah.
are trying to set up a world dictatorship, and they have zero popular support. The only people that support them are people they prostituted and paid money to. So they have this technique they use in different countries, which is to destroy them one city at a time. They infiltrate, they get people on city councils, they get people on school boards, and then they loot them and steal the money and destroy them.
Great.
And basically, just go to San Francisco, go to Los Angeles. You think all those bums and graffiti and crime and busted up streets and, hey, Los Angeles used to be one of the most beautiful places in the world.
Yes,
all
it
Southern
did.
California was wonderful. I can remember going down there many times and everything worked. So that shows can work. Well, they're trying to convince you that nothing works because they want to steal the money. So the money that goes to the police, they'll steal it. It disappears in some nonprofit. That's their one of their main techniques is they create all these mysterious nonprofits that are unaccountable, which is illegal because they're basically precinct worker operations being supported by taxpayer money. And so the money that should have gone to roads, it should have gone to police, it should have gone to schools, so drifts into these nonprofits where it disappears down a rat hole. The same with Sacramento. Sacramento gets $1 billion a day. What could you do with $1 billion a day? And yet every day Newsom's on the TV saying they need more money. Well, that's, you know, they're just stealing the money as fast as it's being sent to Sacramento.
The billboards I would have for that money.
Pardon me?
The billboards I would be putting up with that kind of money would be really special.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Well,
because this is insane.
We're watching, you know, groups of criminals banding into gangs that are connected to corporations or connected to politicians. They latch on to a town or they latch on to a school board or they latch on to a city and they start to loot it. Now, their technique, for example, in San Francisco and a lot of these places, is once they get all the graffiti, once they get all the homeless people pooping on the streets and living here and living there, once they get the crime, once they get these people breaking into Macy's and all these stores because they won't be arrested if it's less than $1,000. So they create all this crime and chaos, and it drives the real estate values down, 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 and they serpentitiously start buying the real estate. And
yeah,
they start collecting the real estate at depressed prices because they depress the prices
now
with the gangs and crime and everything else and their crooked politicians. And then 5 years from now or 10 years from now, they'll put in what they call some reform group that'll take over the Board of Supervisors and kick the bums out, kick the criminals out, paint over the graffiti, clean the streets, fix the potholes, and make it look nice again. And they got that real estate for pennies on the dollar when they distressed the value of the real estate. It's a type of urban renewal.
Yeah, they'll make a Detroit out of L.A., and then when it comes time to make money, they'll convert it into a pristine Palm Springs or something like that. I was going to ask you, I looked at all the Superior Court judges down here in L.A., and none of them, literally none of them, had the support from any Republican organizations. Do you know why that's so?
Unfortunately, I'm not as much an expert on the judges as some other things, but it was my understanding that so many of these judges were appointed by Newsom and their political creatures. Ideally, if we were better organized, we'd examine each and one of them fairly and impartially, because I assume there's a few of them that are worth keeping, and a lot of them are part of this destructo machine. The destructo machine that tries to destroy the laws, destroy the schools, push the poisonous vaccine, make it impossible to build houses. For example, I'm in my 70s, and I'm old enough to remember when you could build houses almost anywhere in California, except for the heavily dense areas like downtown San Francisco or Los Angeles, using the materials at hand, which meant every single animal on the planet Earth and every single human on the planet Earth for tens of thousands of years could use mud, they could use sticks, they could use rocks, and they could build a house, and they wouldn't have a mortgage. Well, starting around 1920, the Rockefellers set up the organization that trained city managers, and they sold this concept that they would have city managers in cities, whereas previous it was just you know, the local people would run the city council, and they were loyal to the local people. When they initiated the city manager thing, they were putting paid professional infiltrators who were part of this destructive machine into the city council and they started looking at the city as a corporation that they could drive into debt and that they could sell bonds and have the banks involved, so the banks would be making a profit off essentially an eternal debt of that city, of that county, of that state government. And so basically the banks started setting up and encouraging the planning departments and the debt and the bonds. And so now they've created a situation. When I was a boy, most people in the United States owned their own home free and clear. And many of those homes were built, owner-built homes, and many of those homes were built using the materials on the land itself, whether it be the wood or the stone or the mud. So now we have a situation where how many people you know own their houses free and clear? It's everything is mortgage. All the homes are mortgaged. They're owned by the banks. The city councils are all loaded up with bonds. They have these bond writers that write more and more bonds and more bond issues for the state of California, for the cities, for the counties. And as a rule of thumb, they should all be voted down. Very few of these bond issues come to any good. Most of them they're like credit card debt. They just go on forever. And that's another reason why a lot of these cities are collapsing. It's all fixable, but people have to see what's being done here. You have criminal gangs that have infiltrated these corporations and banks and governments, and they have a way of looting them.
Yeah, well, I would say the biggest looter would be the Federal Reserve, and their operations of setting interest rates is beyond scandalous.
Right. Well, you have, North Dakota has a state bank. Banking in its present form is mostly malevolent, but you can go back and read about Alexander Hamilton, who was not a perfect person by any means, but he was a friend of George Washington, and he came up with trade policies and banking policies and other policies that were quite benevolent compared to what we have now. And the concept was that there would be very minimal taxation on the U.S. corporations and the U.S. citizens, and the actual funding of the government would be funded by what I call blind and impartial taxation, which would be like liquor taxes, tobacco taxes, or today you could have gas taxes. These are like sales taxes. There would be nothing like crawling into your personal paperwork for the IRS, which is actually forbidden by the Fourth Amendment. So the actual running of the U.S. government during that early period of time was from reasonable tariffs on incoming products from foreign countries, tobacco taxes, and taxes on liquor and things like that. So the taxation was very fair and minimal. And because of the reasonable protections for the Native American industries, there was a lot of growth of industry. And that's one of the reasons why between 1780 to 1920 or so, the United States had the fastest rate of economic growth of any country in the world. Starting around 1920 is when after they created the Federal Reserve, because Woodrow Wilson was a reptilian creature that they got in there who started messing things up. Yeah, well, you know, he was the president of Princeton, and he was caught... They didn't make it public, but he was caught in an adulterous relationship with, I think, the wives of one of the other professors or something there. So the conspirators who set up the Federal Reserve basically had him under blackmail. And it was a carrot and stick thing. They basically said, well, you do what we say, you know, we'll make you president, but you got to follow the rules we set for you. And so as soon as he got in, they got in the Federal Reserve, they got in the IRS. I don't know if you're aware of it. The IRS was never properly ratified. They were supposed to have 3/4 of the state agree to the ratification, and none of them did. And there was a guy named Red Beckman, who wrote a book called The Law Never Was. Wendy, did you have him speak at Granada Forum? I think you knew him, right?
It's a possibility that we had him speak. I just don't remember on that one, but I'll have to check out the book on Red Beckman.
Yeah, it was called The Law That Never Was, and it's basically he and his friend, I forgot his friend's name, they got in a little car and they drove all over the United States and they went to the state capitals of every single state in the United States that was part of the Union in 19, 13, 14, 15, and photocopied the actual paperwork that showed that all the states had turned down the concept of the IRS. But because it was back in a time before there was internet and the newspapers were controlled by the same cartel, they basically just had headlines saying, oh, IRS approved, okay, go with it, just like the COVID thing, just like
right.
9/11, just like the Kennedy assassination. They'll say anything they want. It doesn't have to have any alignment with facts. So
now,
basically...
When people have gone in front of judges, the judges, like, some of the judges actually know that this is a total fraud, but they go along with this because they have slush funds from when they retire and stuff, and so, but they seem to go along, there's a few that will, you know, will let them, you know, see if they can beat them, but the bottom line is, half the time, the judges are going along with the corporation. It's not you know, they're not looking at the individuals.
Well, this is where history is important.
Even though when there's proof.
This is where history is important. For people that know their history, know that the Roman Empire moved from Rome to Constantinople around 350 AD, and Constantine moved it because Rome was becoming corrupt like Washington, so he just wanted to move the whole operation to a new location. And that was one of the things they were concerned about, was monetary stability. So they had a gold coin, I think it was called the Byzant, and it was maybe a half ounce or so, and it had the same purity of gold and the same size and the same design for a good part of 1,000 years. I mean, it was basically used all over the world. And the type of funny money system that we have now is where we're borrowing funny money from the Federal Reserve that they pay maybe a penny for $100 bill. So we're borrowing money from the Federal Reserve that they just stole from the Bureau of Engraving for a penny for $100 bill. So we're paying
okay.
interest on money that they got through deception. The Lincoln, there's different types of monetary systems, by the way. This could go on for hours. Lincoln came up with the greenback dollar, which is where it's not a gold and silver backed monetary unit, but it basically could be used to pay taxes, so it had a certain value. So when he was trying to fund the Civil War and he talked to bankers, they wanted, you know, like 30% funding. He didn't want that. It was too high. So they came up with the idea of the greenback dollar. And the interesting thing, and this could be done today just as easily, was they put into circulation these things that were paper money, but at the same time they were bonds. And they had little pieces of paper. You could tear off them on, like, the first of the year and take them down to the post office, and you'd get interest, you know, like 2% interest on that piece of paper. So that gave the American people the incentive to accept them because everyone knew they weren't gold and silver backed, but the U.S. government was backing them up by making them interest-bearing bonds. So that was a very clever thing Lincoln did to finance the last part of the Civil War. You could do that today. Why should we borrow money from the Federal Reserve and give them bonds as collateral for the money we
right.
borrow from them when we can give the bonds directly to the people?
Right, because
just
for
cut
every
out the middleman.
Right, because
right.
for every dollar that the Federal Reserve makes, they charge us $2, and you can't pay off the national debt until you get referred to the Federal Reserve. And the IRS is a collection agency for the Federal
yes,
Reserve. All the
right.
money that they collect from the IRS doesn't go to America. It doesn't go to the national debt. It goes to the Federal Reserve, which is owned by foreign banks in foreign countries. So there's really the scary Larry. That's the big the big lie, is that all the money that is collected from taxes does not go to the national debt. It goes to the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, it's the interest on the national debt. It's all a collateral system. So they could have, you know, if you read, you know, Benjamin Franklin became very wealthy as a printer, and he was actually printing the paper money the state of Massachusetts was using. And you can read his biography where he talks about things like this. But the different colonies and different countries over time have experimented with different monetary systems. And some of the states would have land backing up the value of the paper currency. Some would have tobacco, like so many bales of tobacco would equal so many dollars. And they came up with different backing systems. And gold and silver historically has been the most preferred because gold and silver is so stable. But there have been times where they've created monetary systems that had no backing at all, like the continental dollar. And the continental dollar, they used that to fund the Revolutionary War. But by the end of the war, they didn't have much value at all because they had printed so many of them, they depreciated rapidly. But
right.
That's one of the reasons why when they wrote the Constitution, they stated that only gold and silver coinage would be the legal currency in the United States, and that would be under the control of the states. Because the original concept of the country was that the federal government was essentially very little to nothing. It was just almost like an office that George Washington sat in with just a few dozen people helping him. And they were supposed to keep an eye on international policy and the security of the borders and the post office and a few other odds and ends connected with Congress and the judicial. And it was just this be a small thing, and the states were going to be the big thing. But, you know, the direct election of senators, which I forget, that was done about the same time that they did the Federal Reserve and the IRS, because that was another thing they wanted. They wanted to weaken the states' power over the federal government. And it was previous that the senators were elected by the state legislatures, so that the state had more control over what happened in Washington by making those senators elected directly by the population. The power brokers felt that the media control they had over these different states, they could sway people to put in senators that were more pliable. So there was different things they did to try to weaken the original design of the country. The initiation of public school systems is another example, because you had the Rockefellers around 1900 made a determined effort to take over the medicine with the Flexner Report and taking over the AMA, and with the Flexner Report shutting down all the independent medical schools that taught natural health. And at the same time, they had John Dewey connected to Columbia University and some of these places come up with the concept of government schools where they can indoctrinate everyone. So, you know, this thing we're seeing has been going on at a number of levels. And once you see it, you can't unsee it, because it's not in the best interest of anyone, really, other than the conspirators that set it up. And it does a lot of damage to the children.
Yeah.
It just turns them into morons.
I wanted to ask you a question back on the vaccine. Stu Peters had Stella Emanuel on a day ago, and they were discussing that they want to put the mRNA vaccine death jabs into meat products that people are eating. And they said they're already doing it. They're already injecting meat in Australia. What do you know about that?
Well, thanks for bringing that up, because going back to the five non-negotiable points that I mentioned earlier, is that there are no viruses, there's no COVID, the testing's fake, that vaccines have always been poisonous, and we have God-given rights that stops this nonsense. Let's look at the issue of animals and veterinary medicine. Imagine if you're a farmer out in the Midwest, and say you have chickens and eggs and stuff, and you could have 10,000, 100,000 chickens. And unbeknownst to you, the competitors that have their cartels, they have chicken farms where they might have millions of chickens, and all they have to do is pay off some government official to go to your farm and say that they found one chicken that had avian flu and use a PCR to test for it and come up with a court order that destroys every single one of your chickens. And that's what they're doing. They're going around the country trying to kill all the animals that they don't own, to create food shortages. And I hope that if anyone's listening knows some people who, you know, grow pigs and cows and chickens and all these animals, to wake up to the fact that there are no viruses, that these animal vaccines are just as devilish as the human vaccines.
I believe that totally. I believe it.
Well, as we speak, I hear they've killed millions of chickens in the United States by saying...
Of course they have. They make people afraid of eating chicken.
I went to Costco a few days ago, and they said they had no eggs. And basically, I said, why? Well, they said, well, there's a national egg shortage. Well, there's a national egg shortage because people believe in viruses. And that includes idiot farmers. Idiot farmers and idiot veterinarian doctors that are going around killing chickens.
Well, it's insanity.
The other thing is they said they weren't going to be killing them. They just said they would be injecting them in the hopes that people would be eating more of these meat products.
Well, you're discussing a parallel track to another one of their little projects, which is at the feedlots, when you're driving down Interstate 5 in Kettleman City and you smell all that cow manure in the air, They put graphene hydroxide and all this garbage in the food. They're trying to inject it into cows. They're trying to load people up with their secret sauce that they were putting in the vaccines, which makes them unconductive to EMF, to where they can be tracked by Wi-Fi, where they can be tracked by 5G, because you have an IP address. And part of that is to get this conductive material inside you. So whether you're eating it from a cow, of course, that they inject it in you, it's really in you. And that gets back to, if you go to Dr. Robert Young or
.com
or Dr. Anna Mihaicha, that's M-I-L-A-C-H-E-A, I think it is. She has, and she's been on my show a number of times, but the thing is, they've had excellent articles explaining what this stuff is they're putting in these vaccines, and it is really gruesome. All sorts of heavy metals, all sorts of tracking devices, all sorts of things like graphene oxide and stuff that make you radio opaque. So let's say you're in one of those spy movies and you're running through the forest trying to escape some helicopter that's trying to kill you.
Yeah,
they can see you because you're reflective to radio waves. And they're putting this stuff inside of people. The other thing is no one in their right mind puts a metal bowl inside a microwave because they know it might explode. Well, you're putting all that metallic substance in your body, and you live next door to a 5G tower. They could crank up the 5G tower and cook you like a hot dog.
Didn't Dr. Anna Maria say to use EDTA to get rid of the hydrogel for this stuff?
Yeah, it's good you bring that up because in addition to shows, we've mostly been emphasizing people not to get the vaccine because that's the ideal situation. You get a lot of background noise.
If you could stay on the line, Tom, that'd be great.
Okay,
sure.
Can you just light it off or what? Are we off?
Yeah, you still on, Tom?
Oh, okay.
Join me in the Brian Roos Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Roos Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Going back in?
There's still men out there.
God damn.
When I go home, people ask me, hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of war junkie? I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand. It's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio. FreedomSlips.com. Number one listener-supported radio. The printing press for freedom.